The law of verbal packaging. Have you ever taken the time to listen to the airline's instructions before takeoff? They are careful with every word they use. They tell you that in the event of a water landing, your seat cushion can be used as a flotation device. Hello? What they're really saying is, hey, if we crash in the water, grab your seat cushion so you don't drown. Notice they don't say life preserver, but rather they call it a flotation device. Also note there is no barf bag on board. It's a motion discomfort bag. Or, we're experiencing mechanical difficulties and said, the plane's broke. They don't clean a plane, they refresh it. Planes aren't late, they're merely delayed. And my personal favorite, they never lose my luggage. They have misplaced it. Once on a plane is about to take off, one of the engines caught on fire, smoke billowed, and the runway was suddenly filled with fire trucks. The pilot came on and called it slight engine difficulties. I don't know about you, but the situation seemed like a little more than slight to me. Yes, airlines know the power of word choice in affecting the customer's emotions and point of view. Over 60% of your day is spent in verbal communication in which you could be persuading, explaining, influencing, motivating, or instructing. You can create movement, excitement, and vision with the words you use. The right words are captivating, the wrong words are devastating. The right words make things come alive, create energy, and are more persuasive than the wrong words. As Mark Twain said, the difference between the right word and the wrong word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. The bottom line is that the words you use attract or repel your prospects. Numerous studies have shown that a common trait of successful men and women is their skillful use of language. The law of verbal packaging states that the more skillful a person is in their use of language, the more persuasive they will be. People are persuaded by us based on the words we use. Words affect our perceptions, our attitudes, our beliefs, and our emotions. The words we use in the persuasion process make all the difference in the world. Language used incorrectly will trigger the wrong response and decrease your ability to persuade. Word skills are also directly related to earning power. Successful people all share a common ability to use language in ways that invoke vivid thoughts, feelings, and actions in their audiences. Carl Jung revealed that all words are full of symbols, and each symbol triggers an emotional reaction or feeling. All words have emotional meanings that are different than their definitions in the dictionary. Understanding words and their emotional triggers will enhance your ability to persuade and influence. There's power in words. Words are used to explain events, to share feelings, to help us visualize the future. Words shape our thoughts, feelings, and attitudes towards a subject. They help us decide if we should run, stay neutral, or take action. Even listening to words can affect your thoughts, attitudes, and feelings. Now, how do these words make you feel? Wealth, success, happiness, health, inspired, love. Now, obviously, it was the word and how I said the word that is verbal packaging. Did you sense how these words made you feel? Successful persuaders know how to use the right words to create the desired response in their audiences. Speakers with greater verbal skills come across as more credible, more competent, and more convincing. Speakers who hesitate, use the wrong words, or lack fluency have less credibility and come across as weak and ineffective. The use and packaging of language is a powerful instrument that can be fine-tuned to your advantage. We all know the basics of language, but mastery of both the aspects of language usage and vocal control can affect human behavior. The proper use of verbal packaging causes you to be adaptable, easier to understand, and more persuasive. This type of language is never offensive and is always concise. Understand the proper language varies from setting to setting and from event to event. One word choice does not work in every circumstance or culture. Word choice can also be critical in diffusing situations or in getting people to accept your point of view. Even one word can make the difference between rejection and acceptance. In a study done by social psychologist Harold Kelly, students were given a list of qualities describing a guest speaker they are about to hear. Each student read from either one or the following two lists. The first list said, the speaker is cold, industrious, critical, practical, and determined. The second list said, the speaker is warm, industrious, critical, practical, and determined. Of course, the students who read the first one had less than positive feelings about the speaker. The interesting thing, though, is that the lists are exactly the same except for the first word. It seemed that putting the word at the front of the list conditioned how the student felt in reading through the rest of the list. It didn't matter that none of the following words were negative. Just reading the word cold tainted how the students read the rest of the list. As I mentioned, the airline industry has mastered the power of words. You know word choice is critical to getting your point across and to reduce stress. In one situation, a flight attendant had run out of steak as an option for dinner. Instead of telling the customers their only option was chicken, the flight attendant said, "You could have a piece of marinated chicken breast sautéed in mushrooms and a light cream sauce, or a piece of beef." Consequently, people chose the chicken because it sounded better. Sales professionals also use words carefully. They know that one wrong word can send their prospect's mind somewhere else and lose them the sale. Some examples of language that salespeople use to help diffuse a potentially tense situation include the following: contract versus paperwork, sign here versus okay the agreement, cancellation versus right of rescission, salesperson versus consultant, commission versus fee for services, cost versus investment, credit card versus form of payment, objection versus area of concern, expensive versus top of the line, cheaper versus more economical, problem versus challenge, appointment versus time to visit. Words also have a strong bearing on how we remember certain details. In one study, subjects were asked if they had headaches frequently or occasionally. Those who were interviewed with the word frequently reported 2.2 headaches per week, while those interviewed with the word occasionally had less than 1 per week. In another study, one group of individuals was asked if they thought the United States should allow public speeches against democracy, while another group was asked if they thought the United States should forbid public speeches against democracy. Although they bear similar implications, notice the word choice makes them contrary to each other. Still, one might think the answers would be similar, since they drive at the same point. Because of the word forbid, which caused them to want to hear the speeches, there was a much higher response in the second question. Have you ever noticed verbal packaging in pharmaceutical commercials? They portray all these wonderful benefits and use a soothing, sophisticated voice to highlight these benefits. Then at the end of the commercial, when they have to run through all the negative side effects, vomiting, headache, diarrhea, they read through these quickly using a monotone voice. The effect is the negatives are de-emphasized, and we as viewers are still left with the overall positive impression. We never hear the sleeping pill could cause diarrhea. Then there's doublespeak. The term doublespeak means replacing an offensive word with a less offensive word, or turning a negative into a positive that creates less sting and appears more attractive. We hear these all the time in the business world. Demotion versus correcting workforce imbalance. Well, let me dumb it down for you. Let me simplify it. Stock market crash is a correction. We don't say stupid idea, we say with all due respect. We don't lose money, negative gross profit. Lying versus misrepresent the facts. Failure versus incomplete success. We don't say bankrupt, substantial negative net worth. Disinformation versus creative license. Employee theft versus inventory shrinkage. Learn to package your numbers. Often in marketing or in any persuasive situation, we need to either play up or play down the greatness or smallness of certain numbers. When playing up a number, persuaders use this type of language. More than 3/4, almost 8 out of 10, better than 2 out of 3. Although when we're playing down a number, you hear this type of language. Less than half, fewer than 2 out of 3, under 3/4. Then there's positive word choice. You can use positive words to help prospects feel more confident, safe, and happy. You can also use negative words to trigger depression, anxiety, or fear. When you use positive words, you capture and keep the attention of your listeners on the points you want them to concentrate on. The words you choose to use will mentally keep them on track. For instance, if you want to plant the seeds of doubt, you would use negative forms of speech. When we're in a positive mindset, we don't ask as many questions. Positivity puts our mind in a comfortable, more persuadable area. When the negative is triggered, it requires more mental effort and our minds begin to search for the weaknesses in the argument. Power persuaders use very assumptive and assertive language. For example, instead of saying, "If you get the report done by Friday, we'll leave early for the weekend," they would say, "When you get the report done by Friday, we'll leave early for the weekend." Effective persuaders also speak positively when accepting responsibilities. Instead of saying, "That's not my problem, you'll have to talk to someone else," they would say, "I'll have the person responsible give you a call." What about words in marketing? Word choice in marketing and advertising is absolutely critical. Even in copywriting, every word matters. When you write copy, an email, or letter, every word can attract or distract the reader. Use words that capture their curiosity, capture their attention, and trigger emotions. When advertisers spend millions of dollars each year, you can bet they've tested every word they're going to use. They want their word choices to psychologically lead you to believe their product is the best and it will change your life. Skilled advertisers can get us to absorb their message unconsciously. They might even package an identical product with different words and phrases to reach a wider segment of the audience. Psychologist Daryl Benn conducted a study on how advertisers use word choice and catchphrases to sell different but identical in effectiveness brands of aspirin. Consider the following. Brand A proclaims 100% pure, claims nothing is stronger. And you have to realize, too, that government tests also show that no brand was weaker or less effective than any other brand. Then Brand B, they advertise unsurpassed in speed. No other brand works faster. Well, that same government test shows that they all are about the same speed. Brand C declares it uses an ingredient that doctors recommend. Government tests revealed that special ingredient is nothing more than regular aspirin. The word choices in these advertisements work because the positive connotations make us assume that each advertised brand is the best. Advertisers know that changing just one word in their ad can dramatically increase the response rate. There are other words advertisers employ, which are known as weasel words. These words sound good, but don't allow you to put an exact number on the advertiser's claim. They let you justify and believe what you want. They're called weasel words because weasels are notorious for breaking into the chicken coop and sucking out the inside of the eggs without breaking the shell. The eggs look fine, but in reality are hollow and empty, just like these words. Use these words when you don't want to use an exact number or downplaying something potentially negative. What are those weasel words? Helps, may, possibly, improved, up to, almost, about, approximately, hopefully, might. Probably the biggest challenge with word choice in marketing comes when billion-dollar corporations want to translate just the right English word into the perfect equivalent in another language. The most famous marketing fiasco, or urban legend, was based on the translation of the Chevy Nova. Translated to Spanish, Nova means doesn't go. When American Airlines wanted to advertise its new leather first-class seats in the Mexican market, it translated its flying leather campaign literally, which meant fly naked. In Spanish, Coors put the slogan Turn It Loose into Spanish, where it was read as Suffer from Diarrhea. The Dairy Association's huge success with Got Milk campaign prompted them to expand advertising into Mexico. It was soon brought to their attention that the Spanish translation read, Are you lactating? One of my favorites, Scandinavian vacuum manufacturer Electrolux, used the following American campaign. Nothing sucks like an Electrolux. Then there's silence. How often have you noticed a sales rep overselling a product? You were ready to make a purchase. The sales rep felt you needed to know everything about the product and he started to fill you in. This caused doubt to creep into your mind and you ended up leaving, telling the salesman you would think about it. When someone has persuaded and convinced, there is no reason to say any more. Strike when the iron is hot. Sometimes the right word is no word. On occasion, we need to remain silent and let the other person talk. We have heard in negotiation that the first one to talk loses. After the persuasion process and the final decision is ready to be made, make your proposal and shut up. The silence is nerve-wracking, but it's critical time to let your prospect make the decision without you rambling on and on about your product or service. More communication is not necessarily better persuasion. In fact, the less you talk, the smarter people think you are. The more you say, the more common and less in control you appear. Many individuals try to impress people with what they know by flaunting all their wisdom, but usually this strategy is a turnoff. Why give them reasons not to buy? Let them tell you what you're looking for. After you've discussed what they care about, after they've made a decision to buy, then and only then should you fill in any remaining blanks with any other benefits or features. Then there's the use of vivid language and how to paint the picture. Complete this visualization exercise with me. Pretend you're standing in a beautiful sunny kitchen. You reach across the counter and grab a bright, juicy orange. You can feel it's heavy with sweet, ripe juice. You bring the orange to your nose, and you can smell the delicious orange aroma. Reaching for a knife, you slice the orange and begin to peel back the skin. The aroma only becomes stronger as you tear the sections apart. One of the sections drips bright, sticky orange juice over your finger. You raise this juicy section to your lips and take a bite. As your teeth sink into the orange, you feel the juice burst out and swish around your teeth and tongue. The juice is incredibly sweet. You savor it for a moment, cradling a puddle on your tongue before swallowing. Did your mouth water? Almost everyone's does. The extraordinary thing is that if I had simply instructed you to produce saliva, you couldn't have done it. The vivid picturing techniques works far better than the command because your mind cannot distinguish between what is imagined and what is real. A power persuader has the ability to paint a picture with his words. Your prospects will be able to see, hear, feel, and experience exactly what he's talking about. Your prospects become part of the message and can fully understand how the product or service will change their life. You must stimulate your prospect's senses by using words that activate their mind. You present your message through positive emotions because the positive thoughts of the audience will color their perception of what you want them to do. We can all say, I walked on the beach, but that's not half as effective as saying, the sun was up and shining brightly on the warm sand. I took off my shoes and felt the soft sand between my toes. The seagulls floated lazily across the ocean sky. The waves soothed my soul as they rhythmically crashed against the shore. I could taste the salt of the breeze on my tongue. I think you can feel the difference between the two. Words activate all we do. The words we use can make you physically ill, emotionally drained, hungry, and even salivate. You can especially increase your desire to buy. A utilities company trying to influence customers on the advantages of home insulation sent auditors to visit homeowners and point out ways they were wasting energy. The auditors provided the homeowners with suggestions on how they could save money if they were willing to improve the energy inefficiencies. In spite of the clear financial benefit over the long term, only 15% of the audited homeowners actually went ahead and paid for the corrections. After seeking advice from two psychologists on how they could better sell the advantages of home insulation, the utilities company decided to change its technique by describing the inefficiencies more vividly. With the next audits, homeowners were told that the seemingly tiny cracks here and there were collectively equivalent to a gaping hole the size of a basketball. This time, 61% of the homeowners agreed to the improvements. When you find yourself in a situation where you really need people on your side, use words that are going to create strong mental images. Attorney Jerry Spence once said, "Don't say he suffered pain. Tell me what it felt like to have a broken leg with the bone sticking out of the flesh. Make me see it, make me feel it." Words are more powerful when they have strong emotional connotations. You want your words to be clear and credible, but they will have greater impact if they also strike an emotional chord with your audience. You can avoid being melodramatic or sensational by being sure that your words truly reflect the circumstances, that they can always be backed up. You could even package derogatory comments. Sure, you can call someone dumb or stupid, but when you can verbally package or vividly describe something, this is what you get. How about dumber than a box of hair? Okay. Got into the gene pool when the lifeguard wasn't watching? If brains were taxed, you'd get a rebate. All foam, no beer, sharp as a marble. How about too much yardage between the goalposts? Forgot to pay his brain bill. Studied for a blood test and failed. Gates are down, lights are flashing, but the train isn't coming. And my favorite, the wheel is spinning, but the hamster's dead. Every word matters. Even using simple words matter. We know that certain words have more pull than others. But who would have thought that simple words like let's, because, and you have the power to move mountains? In one study, researchers found certain word choices could influence people to act against their own self-interests. The researcher would approach a copier with a long line of students. She would try three different word choices at different times to see how the other students would respond to each request. She didn't change what she was asking, only the word choice. When she said, "Excuse me, I have 5 copies, may I use the copy machine?" 60% complied. When she said, "Excuse me, I only have 5 pages, may I use the copy machine because I'm in a rush?" 94% complied. But when she says, "Excuse me, I have 5 pages, may I use the copy machine because I have to make some copies?" 93% complied. The magic was in the word because. Even when she used an obvious reason, for example, just to make copies, she had a higher compliance. The word because is very powerful. Because prepares the mind for a reason, even if the reason is not legitimate, it is still a reason. On the other hand, the one word that will impede your ability to persuade is but. but negates everything you said before it. We all know the drill. I love you, but, or I want to help, but. The word but puts brakes on persuasion. Now, you could strategically use but to negate things, but it usually is used in the wrong place. Practice your vocabulary and use and in your persuasive communication instead of but. Another simple change is to use the word can instead of could. For example, say, can you carry this for me instead of could you carry this for me? It's also better to use will instead of would, and also better to use do instead of try. Often we find ourselves in circumstances where we need to direct, delegate, or even order others. Usually our assignments are just short sentences, such as, can you please do this or that? You could create unity and alliance and lessen defensiveness when you use let's in place of you, even when it's the other person, not you, who is carrying out the assignment. For example, let's be sure and get this out in the mail today, okay? It's such a simple thing, yet you'll find it works wonders. Make a habit of using the word let's, and you will find more cooperation. Simple is always better than complex. Since we are unable to recapture or replay our spoken words, we hope that they will be correctly interpreted the first time they are heard. Unfortunately, spoken words can be the most misread and misinterpreted form of communication, and therefore can be a great hindrance to effective persuasion. When you're in a persuasive situation, use simple, direct, and concise language, rather than fretting about how eloquent you're sounding. Persuaders normally try to speak to the lowest common denominator. You might feel smarter using big words, but simple words are more persuasive. They will pretend to understand, but not be persuaded. So here are a few guidelines to keep your speech and your verbal packaging on the right track. Don't use technical language unless you are sure every member of your audience understands the meaning. Don't use profanity or slang. In general, using profanity damages your credibility. Be sensitive to whatever language your audience might find offensive or politically incorrect. Avoid name-calling and other forms of abusive language. Speak in everyday language. You want your audience to relate to you and feel as comfortable with you as possible. Use language that will make you seem familiar and easy to follow. Keep your language simple and clear. Keep your sentences short. Use as few words as possible unless you are painting the picture. Just one idea at a time. Use words that engage the audience. You could use you, we, us. Don't use vague and abstract words. They muddle your meaning and confuse your listener. And by all means, don't talk down to your listener by using pompous and pretentious words. Also, you can use verb-driven language. By using verb-driven language, you'll arouse greater sense of action and motivation. Using action verbs will make your statement more convincing because your audience will engage their emotions consciously and subconsciously. Verbs that are abstract or overused do not communicate excitement. Then there are words that grab our attention. With so many words in the English language to pick from, you must be very particular which ones to use. Some will grab attention more than others. Here are a few attention-grabbing words used to persuade. Discover, guarantee, now, improve, results, save, health, wealth, quick, easy, money, free, avoid, new, guarantee, benefit, proven, prevent, you, transform, eliminate. Among all those on the list, the word free always gets attention anytime it is used. Suppose you are in charge of designing and wording the flyers your company is planning to send out in 3 weeks. What phrase would you use? Half price? Buy one, get one free? Or 50% off? Each one denotes the exact same offer, but the second phrase is the most effective. Buy one, get one free. In fact, studies have shown that phrases using the word free outsell other phrases stating the exact same thing, only in different terms, by 40%. And with verbal packaging, we need to talk about vocal techniques. See, our voice plays a critical role in influence. How we say the words we choose is just as important as the words themselves. Our voice is a powerful instrument that can motivate the troops or lull them to sleep. There is a big difference between presenting and persuading, informing and influencing, and communicating and convincing. Your voice is a complete arsenal of persuasive techniques in and of itself. For example, you can say the same thing, but mean 5 different things depending on the tone of your voice. You can say thank you laden with sarcasm, love, hate, anger, just by changing the tone and inflection of your voice. Peter Blank, in his research, found judges communicated their bias and attitudes by the tone of their voice. The juries in California were twice as likely to convict trial defendants when the judges already knew the defendants had a record and prior convictions. The law states that a judge cannot share this private information with the jurors. But, as researchers found, judges can convey their attitude toward defendants when the words and tone of voice in their instructions to the jury lack warmth, patience, and tolerance. You can change your rate of speech, the volume, pitch, inflection, emphasis, and even the pauses you use. You can keep your audience's attention, increase their energy, rendering them absolutely spellbound because of the power of your voice. Your voice is who you are. It is your trademark and calling card. Your voice must exude energy, confidence, and conviction. We tend to judge others by their voice. Is it confident, nervous, relaxed, energized, tired, weak, or strong? If you sound unsure and timid, your ability to persuade will falter. Persuasive voices have good volume, varied emphasis, good articulation, and pleasing pitch. Power persuaders use vocal variety and frequently vary their pace. The good news is you can change many characteristics of your voice. Record your voice. What does it project? Your voice must be interesting and easy to listen to in order to help rather than hinder your ability to persuade. Does your voice work for you or against you? What about these aspects of your vocal delivery and voice? Rate. Rate refers to how quickly you speak. Meribian and Williams found that people who spoke faster, louder, more fluently, as well as those who varied their vocal frequency and intensity, were perceived as more persuasive than those who did not. A similar study found speakers with a faster rate were considered more competent. Speeches delivered at fast speeds are more persuasive than those of slow or moderate speeds, because persuaders who speak faster appear more competent and knowledgeable. At these faster rates, receivers are not able to mentally engage in counter-arguing. Pace and speed are also important to keep and capture attention. We can think three times faster than we speak. We all had those conversations, and we were able to listen while thinking of other things. When we speak faster, we can keep attention longer. There is less time for your audience's mind to wander. Studies show that we generally like faster speakers and find them more interesting. Most speakers average 120 to 180 words per minute. Persuasive speakers will speak fast enough to excite and energize mood of the audience, and at times will be able to slow their pace down to create a mood of anticipation. To counteract boredom, we use a fast pace most of the time and vary it in one of two ways. To counteract boredom, use a fast pace most of the time and vary it from time to time. Slow your pace down when you wish to appear thoughtful or have something important or serious to say, or when you wish to show great respect. Increase your pace when you want to create excitement, influence, and energy. There was a study done at USC to discover the relationship between persuasiveness and the rate of speech. Those conducting the study would approach people in a shopping mall or would go door to door. They would introduce themselves from the local radio station. The experimenters would have people listen to an audio on various opinions of the day. There would be an audio at a slow rate, about 102 words per minute, and a different audio at a fast rate, about 195 words per minute. After they listened to the audio, they would ask a few questions. The study found when the audio was at the fast rate, the speakers were perceived as more knowledgeable and more persuasive. What about vocal fillers? Fillers can destroy your presentation, hurt your credibility, and annoy your audience. Most people feel they don't have a problem with this, and most of them are wrong. You would be amazed when you tape yourself what words you use to fill space during speech. You will be amazed when you record yourself what words you use to fill in space during a presentation. Fillers are not acceptable and need to be eliminated from all speech. Vocal fillers include the common you know. Some people have their own ways of filling in the silence between ideas that makes them feel uncomfortable. Some repeat the first two or three words of each sentence until their brain catches up and they decide what they're going to say. Others might say, okay, at the end of every sentence as if they're checking audience comprehension. We all tend to use a few natural fillers. It is always good for you to reduce the number of fillers that you use during a conversation. Then there's pitch. Pitch is the highness or lowness of the speaker's voice. Low is best. In most cultures, deeper voices are generally interpreted as reflecting authority and strength for both men and women. In addition, a deeper voice is stereotypically considered to be more believable, indicative of an individual's sincerity and trustworthiness. Many speakers practice lowering their voices because of the benefits of a lower pitch. Some speakers even drink hot tea before they speak, a technique that creates a lower sounding voice. Remembering to employ variety in your speaking is a constant challenge, but it is of paramount importance. The worst thing for persuasion is a memorized speech or a presentation that is read word for word. You could help people remain alert and pay attention when you speak if the pitch of your voice rises and falls. There are two main reasons why this strategy works. First, the varying pitch will prevent your voice from sounding monotone. Second, the varying inflections can emphasize a particular point. Remember, if you're not an engaging speaker, you will not be persuasive. Other studies in pitch show that rise in pitch shows nervousness and maybe that you're hiding something. Low pitch brings more favorable attitudes. Increase in pitch decreases competence. High pitch voices are perceived as weak and more nervous. What about volume? Obviously, you're not going to be very persuasive if no one can hear you. You probably experience the aggravation of straining and struggling to hear a speaker. Before your presentation, test the room to ensure you can be heard from all parts of the room. Also, test to see whether you're going to need amplification. Certainly, the converse is also true. Be sure your audience does not feel you are yelling or shouting at them. This, understandably, is just as aggravating for the audience, or even more so, as struggling to be able to hear. These points are also true for how you sound on the phone or via the internet. Raising your voice for impact or dramatic effect is not as effective as lowering your voice. The technique can work, but you must be very careful about how you use it. Additionally, people who keep a calm and steady voice in emotional moments are considered more credible and competent. What about articulation? Clearly articulate every sentence, phrase, and word. When your speech is clear and coherent, it conveys competence. When your articulation gets sloppy, it suggests lack of education and laziness. Consider how lawyers, doctors, supervisors, motivational speakers, and the like must articulate if they are going to survive professionally. Good articulation conveys credibility and experience. Another practical reason to have good articulation is simply because it is so much easier to follow. As I talked about earlier, people will comply with you more when you are easy to understand. Downward inflection demonstrates power and control. News broadcasters are trained to inflect their voices downward at the ends of their sentences because doing so suggests confidence and authority. Upward inflections tend to suggest lack of confidence and doubt. Airline pilots are also trained to inflect down to portray more confidence. Imagine if a pilot said the following while inflecting his or her voice up at the end. "We are going to have a safe flight today?" would sound like a question, not a statement. And then there's pauses. Treat your pauses like gold. Well-timed pauses attract attention to a particular part of your presentation, give others time to tune in and process your message, and help you gain poise and confidence. Use intentional pauses for the points you intend to drive home. Not only does a pause increase comprehension, but it also helps to highlight important points. Use pauses to create attention, emphasis, and mood. A carefully planned pause usually comes before the point you want to highlight. It is a common mistake to not hold the pause long enough. Be sure you allow enough of a pause that the full effect will be felt. When you do this, the audience anticipates and listens closely to what you will say next. They can tell something important is about to happen. This strategy is made even more effective when you combine it with pitch strategies. Be sure that as you come to the pause, your pitch is high, therefore building suspense and giving momentum to what will follow. Inflecting your pitch downward will defeat the purpose, providing a feeling of resolution instead of suspension. Government uses verbal packaging all the time. It's not a recession. It's accelerated negative growth. Fiscal unachievers are poor people. Legal interventions shot by the police. Pavement deficiencies, pothole. It's not fatty, it's marbled. If you're doing nutritional avoidance therapy, that's a diet. How about this one? Try this one on your kids. Outstanding vintage cuisine instead of leftovers. Instead of calling it rotten fruit, it's distressed produce. Now, can it backfire? Sure. When you use words that are obviously sugar-coating the blunt truth or trying to make a junkyard sound like a resort, this will backfire on you. How about a case study? So I was consulting with a famous politician. He is a member of Congress, and his re-election race was very close. He wanted to become more charismatic in his speaking. He also wanted to increase his influence, increase donations, and connect better with his audience. He had given a speech that he felt was critical to his re-election and would clarify his position in the race. I watched the video, and he was very articulate as he read his presentation word for word and made sure everyone understood his position. He stood tall at the podium, and he used persuasive words. Why didn't his speech resonate with the audience? Why were donations low? Using the law of verbal packaging, what would you recommend? The actual words and phrases in his speech were persuasive. His word choice was perfect. The challenge was the delivery. Anytime you read a speech, it will take away your energy and your presence. When you're stuck behind a podium, you connect less with the audience. Because he read his speech, his rate was reduced. This caused his delivery to lose the attention of his audience and reduced his ability to persuade. He was more concerned about the reading of the speech and the articulation than reaching and inspiring his audience. There was no emotion because of the forced delivery. If you need additional resources, again, it's MaximumInfluence.com. There you can see a video of me in action teaching and using verbal packaging.